Welcome to another episode of FPL 360.
This is actually take two of this week's episode. We had some technical difficulties. No, I think they deserve to know, because as any podcast that's recorded and doesn't make it to being published, it was the best one we've ever done.
Of course, which means this one is going to either be really, really good or utter shit. Tune in to see more.
We're going to start by talking and probably focus most of this episode on transfer news. I guess we'll kick it off with Southampton. Southampton has sold Manolo Gagliardini. Well, he's going to be sold. He's joining Sampdoria on loan. This was an expected move because he's been absolute trash. But
he was one of the better January transfers to come in for fantasy purposes.
The thing that's interesting about this, obviously we have Charlie Austin suspended. Danny Ings is out. And with Gagliardini leaving, Southampton only have Shane Long in terms of a...
Well, actually, is what's his face healthy? Obafemi, I believe.
I haven't looked, but I'm assuming if he is, he will start.
Because he's a better option than Shane Long.
I mean, I would assume that they would both start, because they've been playing with two forwards lately. Or do you think that Hasenhüttl will change the formation? Just because they're without so many pieces.
I mean, Long will probably play. I'm just thinking for fantasy purposes, who could actually be useful, because it's not Shane Long.
Well, they're playing at Leicester City, so I mean, I thought this was going to be an entertaining match. Now I kind of am firmly on the side of the Foxes.
So now are you more in tune with me owning three Leicester City defenders?
Yeah, I mean, it's almost like you knew that Southampton weren't going to have any strikers this week.
Well, I mean, I knew they weren't going to have Ings and they weren't going to have Wilburn. So that's two of their most important players right there.
Yeah, I mean, sticking with the Saints, interesting rumor that they could be in for a move for Ademola Lookman from Everton. Lookman played under Hasenhüttl at, well, he was on loan at Leipzig last season. And the most recent development is the manager came out and said that he's hopeful of adding players this month, but only if they're long-term prospects. I guess Lookman would qualify as a long-term prospect because he's so young, but do you think Southampton would be willing to meet the demands of Everton, which will most likely be in the region of 25?
Yeah, this is what sucks, because in a vacuum, I love Lookman to Southampton. He has performed, scoring being involved in eight goals in 11 appearances under Hasenhüttl in his last season at Red Bull Leipzig. I think he'd be able to walk in and immediately challenge for playing time at Southampton, but he has at least a $20 million price tag on him from Everton.
Yeah, I think the financial aspect is the only and major significant roadblock for this move. I think it would be a good fit, because right now he's not going to be able to get into that Everton first team. And I mean, he is a long-term piece. It's just whether or not Southampton are willing to spend that much in January. I don't think they will, personally.
And it sucks, because I picked up Lookman in excitement about this rumor by finally cutting the bait on Morata.
Well, let's assume it does go through. What value would you attach to him for fantasy?
I'm not sure if he'd actually be worthwhile if you have three playable forwards, but I don't. because I have Richarlison, Leroy Sané, and then a whole heap of trash.
Yeah, I would say he's a third. He would definitely be a third forward to consider. Guess we'll look at Everton now, and then we'll get to the club that seems to be dominating the transfer headlines so far during the window. Everton are reportedly interested in a loan move for Chelsea's Michy Batshuayi. For those who did not check Twitter this morning, Batshuayi has returned from his loan to Chelsea. He only scored 3 goals in 23 appearances, and Valencia's sporting director came out and said that the loan has been terminated. The interesting piece, though, is there's so much going on at Chelsea that I don't know how to address this, like the validity of this. Because you would assume they would only let him leave if, I mean, there's then the Morata
He was
situation.
never there in the first place.
But, I mean, it seems like obviously Chelsea want to get Higuain or Callum Wilson, ideally, but that means they would probably need to get rid of
Or
Morata
Icardi.
or Icardi. And then you also have Olivier Giroud still there. So, I mean, Sarri's probably not going to carry three forwards or three center forwards. So, I mean, I'm guessing Giroud's going to be there no matter what.
Yes.
So, trying to simplify this. So, I guess we're thinking Morata is the first domino that needs to fall.
Well, I think Michy's domino falls, period. Just because Michy barely exists to Chelsea. They have done everything they can possibly do to not play him.
The
While.
only problem is that Everton already have Kurt Zouma on loan.
But Everton also has the money to permanently sign Michy if Chelsea wants to do what they do best and cut bait on a talented youngster.
Yeah, that's why this is such a weird, because I think Batshuayi would be a good fit for Everton.
Oh, it'd be awesome. It allows Richarlison to move back out where he belongs on the left. It gives them a very mobile front line. And in turn, they probably sell Sanctosin somewhere.
What do you think the figure would be?
For bets or what they get for Tosin?
For bats, for Tosin, I'm gonna say the going rate is probably two pairs of indoors.
I mean, the rumored fee was about 18 million. I
Oh,
feel like it'll
that's
probably
chump
get
change.
closer to like 22.
Yeah, I mean, if you're getting him for around there.
If you're getting him cheaper than Dominic Solanke, there's some problems.
Yeah. So, yeah, I do think that, I mean, there's actually more legs to that. I didn't think about that loan thing at first, but it would make more sense for Chelsea to sell him permanently since he doesn't really seem to fit into Sarri's plans.
Even though he
So,
should.
yeah, even though he should. So, I guess we'll get to the stuff that's been out there for a while. That's kind of been the main focus of Chelsea's window. Higuain and Callum Wilson. So it looks like Chelsea are prepared to pay 50 million for Callum Wilson. However, Higuain is Sarri's first choice. I don't. Which move do you think is better for the club?
Better for the club is easily Callum Wilson. I mean, we both are in the same mind that it's not the best move for Wilson,
Yeah.
but it's easily the better move than shelling out stupid money for Higuain.
Yeah, so right, Chelsea spent 57 on Morata. And he'll be allowed to leave if they find a replacement. So I'm just wondering how late they're gonna wait in the window before they make some sort of an actual approach or somewhat of approach gets put out there in the public, because I mean, yeah, we do, it's only January 10th. But at the same time.
TikTok.
Yeah. I mean, do you think Morata's going to be at Chelsea come the window closing?
No way.
So then I guess that's the real thing is how.
Chelsea's going to settle for Andy Carroll.
Yeah, I was gonna say, who's the guy that we're not talking about that makes even less sense that Chelsea could go get? Well, it's about time that the Andy Carroll to Chelsea rumor emerges again, like it did last season.
Well, remember last season we saw Andy Carroll, we saw Ashley Barnes,
Oh
and
yeah.
we saw Peter Crouch.
Yeah. Good old Crouchy. Chelsea, it just keeps rolling because there's been news that Bayern Munich have made three advances for our boy Callum Hudson-Odoi, and now Sarri, I guess, wants him to stay, according to Sky Sports.
Does he though? Or does Chelsea just want to ratchet up that fee a little more?
I don't understand why they're selling him in the first place, because Pedro's old. We might as well talk about the Willian thing now. So I completely forgot about that. It
It's
just
so
keeps coming.
stupid that they keep Willian regardless of everything.
So Barcelona are reportedly very, very interested in the Brazilian, and they're
Again.
willing to offer cash as well as, is it Malcolm?
Yes.
And Chelsea have refuted their approach.
Yeah, I don't get it. You get money and you get younger at the position? Why say no?
Yeah, I mean, Barcelona tried to sign him last summer. They made three bids, and the final one was rejected at 55. So I'm guessing Barcelona would probably be willing to offer because they bought Malcolm for 38. I don't think he's that good. I'm guessing maybe they would offer Malcolm and maybe 20,
I mean, Malcolm
30.
is relatively good. It's just his confidence has been shot at Barca.
Dude, I mean, Willian's 30 and his contract runs out in the summer of 2020. I don't know why they wouldn't pull the trigger on this,
Don't
considering they
either,
have Christian Pulisic coming in next season.
this does tell us that when Pulisic comes in, it's not Willian that's making way.
Yeah, so they're gonna. That's great. That's perfect. Let's bring a guy in who predominantly plays on the right wing and let's stick him on the left. Oh, where are you gonna put Hazard? Oh, wait, we're just gonna bury Pulisic on the bench?
Honestly, it's what it sounds like, unfortunately.
Dude, I hate Chelsea so much. They're so annoying.
I just don't get this club. Like, they need a midfielder in order to let Cesc Fabregas go to Monaco,
Oh, I forgot about that one. We got to go over that too.
and then they decide that they're gonna loan out Lewis Baker and all of their midfielders.
So, Fabregas, it's a foregone conclusion he's going to leave. But for some reason, all of a sudden, even though Sarri has not used Fabregas since he's been fit, all of a sudden he does not want to let him go because they need to bring in a replacement for him. He's going to go to Monaco. It's a matter of time. But I guess they need a replacement for him to sit on the fucking bench.
Yeah, it's like a replacement for what?
It's like Sarri afraid that they're not going to have enough people on the bench and the bench is going to fucking capsize. I don't understand this. It's just so frustrating.
Because I mean, I guess he has to be scared by the Ruben Loftus-Cheek injury and the fact that Ross Barkley is also injury prone, but they still have is
He
it
doesn't play Barkley. He didn't
Nathan
play Barkley
Amunkel
enough
or
to get him hurt.
fair.
I'm starting to think that there's just a massive disconnect between the transfer dealings at that club and the manager.
I mean, as we said, Chelsea are serial hoarders.
And take a deep breath, talk about this rationally. I think the issue is that Sarri has a vision of how he wants to play, and he's using these players as an excuse to go out and get the guys he wants that the club initially did not want to spend the money on.
So what's interesting though is the way that Sarri wants to play, we don't particularly have much proof that it's going to truly work in the Premier League.
Which is why he wants to go out and get, I know he's been linked with Nicolò Barella, who plays in Serie A. I mean, he's an up-and-coming midfielder. I guess in the Jorginho mold, nowhere near that, though.
Which, why do they need
know.
Another Jorginho mold?
Because, I don't know. We should have Sarri on. I'd love for him to answer some of our questions.
In the middle of chain smoking.
Yeah. So let's get back to the thing that I wanted to discuss before we had to go over this other stuff. Callum Wilson, if you're Bournemouth, if you're in the spot right now and Chelsea come knocking with 50 million for him, do you accept that bid?
No.
Do you ask for more? What would be your price?
If I'm Bournemouth, I sell right now at probably around 65.
If I'm in the club's position, you know that Chelsea are going to get to a point where they're going to start panicking if they can't line something up to make sure Morata's going to leave right away when they get this done. I would literally say I would start at like 70. I would start at 80 because you know Chelsea has the money. Obviously, it's not going to be that high, but he's 26. He's in the form of his career right now. It should be a simple transition for him. I don't see why he would stop scoring.
Yeah, I mean, and his value will probably never be higher than what it is right now.
No, and the other thing is that Chelsea are so desperate to get rid of Morata and bring someone else in that, I mean, you're selling a guy who is like one bad plant foot away from being out for another year. And I love Callum Wilson. I don't wish any ill will on him, but Chelsea kind of are blinded to the fact that this guy has been so injury prone.
Well, I mean, their forwards have both been injured at multiple times this season, so they're just collecting an island of glass forwards.
Yeah, it is as confusing as it is frustrating to talk about their transfer dealings.
Hey, I'm not frustrated. I don't want to see Chelsea in Champions League next year.
I just don't want them to have any success of any kind.
That too.
I guess we're gonna let's transition away from them though. One of the things I saw that I got a good chuckle out of: West Ham have reportedly rejected an offer of 35 million for Marko Arnautović from an unnamed Chinese Super League club. The Hammers insist he's not for sale. However, if he was for sale, a bid in the region of 35 million would be nowhere enough for such a key player. Is that...
That means he is for sale.
I was about to say.
Let's be real here.
That means West Ham United want around 50 million for Arnie because they think he's as good as Callum Wilson.
Well, he is. And if I'm West Ham, who has spent half of their season without Arnautovic and has shown that they can put together a pretty good offense without him, unlike last year, thanks to Anderson and Chicharito, I'm taking that 50 million bid and I'm running with it.
So, I guess, because all roads lead to Chelsea, is there a situation where we see Arnie go to Chelsea?
I hope not.
If everything else falls through?
I think it's still more likely that Arnie ends up putting on a Man United shirt than a Chelsea shirt.
I'm fine with that.
But United's not going to make any signings this window.
No, we don't need to sign anyone. We have everyone that we need for the rest of the season. But it is interesting with West Ham because you have Arnie, you have Chicharito, you have the one and only Andy Carroll. I mean, it would make sense for them to sell one of those guys. And it just so happens that the one guy they don't want to sell is the one guy that people want to buy.
Yeah, I mean, because realistically, they should have done Andy Carroll to Burnley at the beginning of the season and been done with it.
Sticking with Andy Carroll, we have a question on Twitter from friend of the program, Tyler Dunn. He wants to know, will Andy Carroll ever return to Tyneside?
Unfortunately, due to him and one Salomon Rondon being the same player, except one's made of glass and one's inconsistent, I just don't see a way it can work out.
Yeah, I don't think that would work out for any of the parties. And the way I kind of look at it is that Rondon, you exchange his streakiness as a scorer with Andy Carroll's injury history, and that kind of evens it out. Although I do think Carroll is a better player when they're both fit than Rondon.
But while we're on Newcastle, can we talk about a another Newcastle rumor that seems like it may happen if they can agree to terms? And that's Miguel Almiron.
Yeah, this is very interesting. I don't know. This is probably gonna sound weird. I think he's too creative of a player to play for Newcastle.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what I thought about Muto, and then they decided, not to play him, even though they
Well,
should.
I'm just imagining Benitez just sitting there, just cursing under his breath with Almiron dribbling the ball and trying to do things outside of just get it to Jonjo Shelvey to hammer, just hammer a ball 30 yards down the left side of the pitch.
But I mean,
I don't think he fits their style of play. I think he would be a good addition for Newcastle.
well, the weird thing is he's a better Kennedy, who they are playing this year.
So is Kennedy actually good though?
I don't know.
I'm I so yeah, I don't know if he's actually good. I mean, on the if he was playing for a club with more offensive weapons, I think he'd be effective, but I don't think he's a game changer. I mean, he's shown it in flashes, but he hasn't been consistent enough. Oh, by the way, that's another Chelsea player. But yeah, I mean, Almiron, he's really good. I like him. I don't know. I'm having a hard time seeing him in a Newcastle shirt. I mean, do you think if the transfer goes through, he's going to be able to make an impact, or
I think
is.
I'm not sure, because the big question is what will he do against a Premier League defense? And the answer is, I don't know. But he'll be one of the better players to take a flyer on in fantasy leagues.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think he's going to be too overwhelmed. I mean, he has performed decently well on the international level. The thing that I'm having trouble with is where he fits into the Newcastle team. I mean, are they going to change their formation to accommodate him?
I mean, well, he is a winger that sometimes plays off the striker. So
So he's okay, so he.
realistically, what he does is he takes goodness, I'm blanking on his name. Not Matt Ritchie, but the other winger.
Atsu,
Yes.
who played actually very well in their last match.
Well, I mean, both of them pick matches to play well in, but neither of them are anything close to consistent.
I mean, the other thing too is I didn't realize Almiron was a winger. I thought he was just a straightforward central attacking midfielder.
Well, he can play anywhere across an attacking three or float off the striker. His position is kind of in flux due to the way that Atlanta United play and the fact that you don't really need to have a position to have success in MLS.
Especially when you have Joseph Martinez.
And Julian Gressel,
Yeah, and Julian
who
Gressel.
would also be a good pickup for some lower level Premier League teams.
I mean, it's definitely something to note. I would be very interested in adding him in fantasy. I mean, a club I guarantee you that he's going to torch if he does make the move is Fulham. And we have another question from Tyler. If you're a top six Premier League club, is this the perfect time to buy Ryan Sessegnon? His value is way lower than it was in the summer. And we all know there's no way he's going down when the Cottagers inevitably go back down to the championship.
I mean, theoretically, yes, but they're not going to sell.
Yeah, I don't think they can afford to because they need all the help they can get. Granted, he hasn't been at his best this season.
Since
Since Ranieri, yes, he's
there we
been
go.
better.
I mean, he's been actually pretty damn good under Ranieri.
Is there anyone that Fulham should be looking at, or are they just a lost cause?
Well, I mean, Fulham are looking at people. I'm just not sure they're the right people, as they're linked with Victor Moses, Gary Cahill, and Danny Drinkwater.
Initially, I was thinking that Cahill would be a good signing to shore up their defense, but then it dawned on me that he's old and he's slow, and that's not what their defense needs, even though they probably could use someone who understands how to play against Premier League attackers. Drinkwater, I don't know what that would do. I don't think it would be a negative. I don't think it would be a big positive, though.
Yeah, it's basically a lateral move.
Yeah, what about Moses?
I don't mind the Moses move since they're likely sending Timothy Fosu-Mensah back.
He wants the
But
hell out of there.
I mean, they want him the hell out of there, so it goes
I
both
think
ways.
it's mutual.
But is Victor Moses really that good at defense? No.
I also saw something about, and I don't think there's any validity to it. I saw something about Joel Matip from Liverpool.
Yeah, there's no way they're affording him.
There was one other one. It was Danny Simpson.
Now, Danny Simpson wouldn't be a bad signing for them.
However, he's back in the picture at Leicester City with Perea now playing as a winger.
Can they call up Lester about Armitage?
Dude, I want to talk about Leicester. This is actually a good transition point. So obviously, the odds are tilted in their favor against Southampton with them being diminished. And would you say that right now in OFPL, Pere should be the top defender everyone's trying to get since he's kind of moved to the wing?
I mean, just about.
He's at
He
5.3 right
is
now.
your quintessential out of position player.
Yeah, Leicester is a club I like right now. I think Vardy getting out of his slump the way he did against City and Chelsea, that's huge. And I think he's going to have a big second half. I also think that the place Callum Wilson should go to is Leicester City. kind of bring things full circle. Could you see a
Even though he has a
scenario?
better chance at European football with Bournemouth.
That's a good point. But I could see Callum Wilson being the successor to Vardy because Vardy is getting up there.
Yeah, but he's not going to Leicester, so.
Well, it was worth a shout. We have some other potential moves to talk about. This one is not a potential move. It's pretty much a foregone conclusion. Ramsey will be joining Juventus. He has signed a pre-contract. Well, reportedly, allegedly, he's definitely going. Do you think it's smart for Arsenal to let him go? Because personally, I think it's dumb considering
Oh, it's so stupid.
you're gonna need to
Like,
cut weight in the form of Ozil.
if you're going to pay any of your midfielders, it should be Ramsey. It made no sense to offer Ozil his contract when they did, and now they're paying for it.
Yeah, I mean, the whole thing is, I guess it's going to be the Iwobi show in that attacking role moving forward. I'm guessing they'll
Which is
probably go
not
out
good,
and buy someone
which is not good
in the
for
summer.
anyone.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to buy someone in the summer. I don't really know who, but I just think it's weird that they're letting him go.
Are they going to get Denis Suarez in the summer? Because there's no way they get him right now.
Yeah, that's the other one that's been out there. I don't know too much about him as a player. So, I mean, are you more familiar with him? I don't want
I
to
mean,
say anything.
he's a relatively creative attacking midfielder. It's weird though because he feels like a poor man's Mkhitaryan when Mkhitaryan originally came to Arsenal. But knowing what we know now, Mkhitaryan to Arsenal was not very good of a move.
Yeah, I mean, he's coming from Barcelona, so I mean, I don't think he'll have too hard of a time transitioning to the Premier League. I just don't know how much of an impact he's going to make for them. Like, I don't think bringing in Suarez and letting Ramsey go, I don't think that's a net gain.
No, you want to bring in Suarez while still having Ramsey.
Sticking with central midfielders. This is a question we got from Charlie Andor on Twitter. I haven't seen any rumors. Chuck, I don't know if you've seen anything, but Manchester City, the only deficiency they have is the lack of a replacement or someone who can fill in for Fernandinho. Is that a concern for them that they should address in the January window?
Oh, definitely. I wrote that I think that cities should go after Danny Drinkwater. They likely will not go after Danny Drinkwater, but they definitely need a defensive midfielder because Fernandinho is card happy, getting old, and is now slightly injury prone.
Yeah, I do think that with how close the title race is right now, all it takes is a silly tackle from him getting sent off, getting two yellow cards in a match, and that could kind of tilt the title challenge in favor of Liverpool or any of the other clubs. I'm not going to concede that. I'm still not thinking about the fact that Liverpool could actually win the league.
I don't
Is
want to
there
talk about that
anyone?
because I want to say that Spurs are still in a title race.
Okay, well, let's not get ahead of ourselves, Chuck.
Oh, come on. If City's in the title race, then Spurs are too.
One of them has won the Premier League before.
Yeah, and Liverpool hasn't. So, well, they've won it before, but you know what I mean?
Is there anyone more exciting outside of Danny Drinkwater? I mean, I'm thinking right now, I have someone in mind
I'm
who would
thinking
be.
realistic.
Yeah, okay.
There's tons of more exciting names than Danny Drinkwater, but this is also a City team that should be up against financial fair play.
Yeah, so that's a whole nother thing to talk about. But yeah, I don't know. Drinkwater, it would make sense. I think long term, the guy that they're going to go after is Wilfred Ndidi.
I'm still shocked that Liverpool didn't.
He is so good. He needs to work on his passing a little bit. At least his
Yeah.
range of passing.
But the thing with yeah, and that's why I don't know about Ndidi to City, because with quick fire passing,
Yeah.
one wrong pass and you immediately have the team going the other way.
Yeah, I don't think he would be. I mean, if you're having him as a guy who needs to play here or there or come off the bench, I wouldn't be too worried. But having him, cemented in central midfield with how he is now, it would be slightly a liability. I mean, I don't think it would be as big as we're making it out to be because they're so good and there's so much coverage all around. But that is the one thing kind of holding his game back at the moment. A club who I want to talk about next, they brought in Jason Puncheon on loan. We're a fan of Huddersfield Town. They need a heck of a lot in order to stay up. And the rumor coming out now is that they've made an approach for Shinji Okazaki from Leicester City. However, when David Wagner was asked about it, he said he did not want to discuss on other players as they're not his players, so they're not his to discuss, which I think is kind of a clever response without saying anything, but also saying, yeah, sure, that's fine if we get him. Is that the kind of guy that the Terriers should be trying to bring in right now? Or do you think that they need to be shooting a little higher?
They can't shoot a little higher. Why would anyone higher come to the team? Shinji scores goals when given chances, even if they're very, very crap goals. So,
But he's at his best playing almost as like a secondary forward.
I mean, I think he'd be more likely to come off the bench for his work rate in relief of Steve Meunier than actually starting.
I don't think it'll happen because I just don't see it being possible, but just given Wagner's relationship with Jurgen Klopp, I think Divock Origi would be the like cream of the crop signing for them to get. On loan, of course.
That would be very interesting.
I don't know how the wages worked out, but I mean, he would come into that team and we would be, with Aaron Moy injured, he'd be their best player right away. And it's a win-win situation for him because they're pretty much expected to go down. I mean, they're bottom of the league in goals scored, they're second bottom in shots. They can't get anything going. And it would be, I mean, he'd be playing 90 minutes for the rest of the season. I think it's a good move. I don't know if it's possible, but just a little food for thought.
Yeah, I don't know either, but I wouldn't hate that.
The other thing, before we get to the rest of the matches, that I did want to bring up quickly, is there anyone who you think could move right now that hasn't really been talked about? Premier League to Premier League club. I'm probably just going to bring this up once an episode until the window closes, and maybe inevitably we'll pick something out.
Yeah, let's talk about this next episode when I've actually had a chance to think, because that is not a very good off-the-cuff question.
Yeah, I mean, I have one.
Of course, you have one because you thought of the question.
You see how I did that? So I'm thinking kind of what clubs need right now. Also, I just did one with the Origi thing. I'm thinking of what clubs need right now, who can kind of go where, what makes sense, what doesn't make sense. I brought it up last week. I'm going to bring it up again. John Joe Kenny to Burnley. Right back situation. Boom. Solved on loan.
Every week, you are going to pitch John Joe Kenny to a new Premier League club.
Yeah, well, I did, so I'll have to pick someone else besides Burnley next week.
You picked two last week.
Oh, I said, who did I say outside of Burnley?
Was it Fulham? There was definitely another.
No, I said Bournemouth.
But now they got Nathaniel Clyne, so.
Yeah, so it's fine. That counts anyway. We'll talk briefly about a couple matches. I guess we'll start right there. Burnley, Fulham, relegation implications. I'm in favor of the Clarets. I don't think Fulham,
Has anything.
especially after losing in the FA Cup with Mitrovic missing a penalty, they're in shambles.
They're screwed.
Is there, I already asked you this question, so I'll kind of rephrase it. If Fulham were able are able to stay up, how would they do it?
They're not staying up.
Okay. So looking at Burnley for fancy purposes, Chris Wood, Sam Vokes, Ashley Barnes, they're all around 45 to 50% owned in draft leagues for Fantrax. If they're available in your league, are you trying to stream them this week against Fulham's crappy defense?
I'm only really streaming Ashley Barnes.
Yeah, since we're not sure which of the other ones are going to get a start up front with him.
Yeah.
It's kind of a revolving door. Yeah, I'm in favor of Burnley there. Another match with relegation implications. Cardiff City hosting Huddersfield Town. So I know we talked about it last week a little bit. Jason Puncheon comes in. He's going to be playing, excuse me, in the middle of the attacking midfield three, which is an excuse of attacking midfield three. I mean, he's 32. He's a couple years removed from being relevant in the Premier League and fantasy for that matter. Do you think the addition of him ups their chances at Cardiff City? Or do you think that Cardiff's
No,
just going to kind of hammer
because
him?
if you're doing a Aaron Moy out, Jason Puncheon in, you're getting the shit into that deal.
Well, I mean, it's not like a. At this point, they just need someone who knows how to play that position, who's have experience.
I get that, but you also have to think they're losing their set piece threat, they're losing their penalty taker. Aaron Moy was on corners too, right?
I mean, Moy, I wrote, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks ago, he had something like 93% of their set pieces in terms of corners and free kicks taken. He's supposed to be back in early February from his MCL injury, which kept him out of international duty with Australia. So he's not gone forever, but just the thought of a team trying to stay up and their second and third best scoring threats are Jason Puncheon and Elias Kachunga. It's just like a bad dream.
They're also screwed.
And I like Huddersfield. I like David Wagner. I really like how he coaches. It's just
Yeah, I mean, we
they need to
both
buy a
do.
striker.
It's just they don't have enough.
Yeah, they don't have enough money to go out and buy the striker that they need. Moving right along, we're going to skip the rest of the matches because
There's only one other match that
there's no
matters.
matters, and that is Chuck Spurs hosting my Manchester United.
Oof.
Before we talk about the match, I believe this was from FPL Hazardous on Twitter. BBC on Football Daily yesterday said Spurs looked tired against Chelsea. He wants to know, is there any hope for them to bring in some fresh faces in January?
Well, so
And if they do, where would it be? Like, where do they need help?
the short answer is no, they're not buying anyone, and they're going to be the first Premier League team to make it through the entire season without actually buying anyone. The long answer is they have been scouting Dale Fry of Middlesbrough, who is a center back slash right back, and that could potentially happen.
But I mean, he's still 2 or 3 years away from being factoring into that team if he didn't make the move.
when does that stop Spurs from making a move?
I'm starting to think that, well, actually, I mean, they signed Lucas in January last year, right?
Yeah, they said Lucas was he the
Yeah,
I
he was,
forget
I'm pretty sure.
well When was Surge signed?
I'm pretty sure he was. What I was gonna say, well, the joke I was gonna make is that I just think Spurs didn't realize that you were actually allowed to sign players in January.
I mean, they usually don't, but also, like, January signings usually suck, so, like, what's the point?
Yeah, I mean, I just think that right now it couldn't hurt, to have a second striker that knows how to play.
Yeah, but strikers are expensive, and we all know Spurs aren't going to spend anything.
Andy Carroll.
Don't want Andy Carroll on my team.
What about Arnie?
I take Arnie, but again, strikers are expensive, and they're not paying 50 million for a backup striker.
Yeah, that's fair. How much did they pay for Lorienté?
18, I believe.
I mean, I guess that
Money badly spent, but
that's not as bad as what's his name? Who's the other guy you got from La Liga? Soldado. Yeah, that guy sucked. So
don't want to talk about that. Let's just move on.
all right, so I guess we'll each have a chance at this. What is the number one key for Spurs' success in order for them to walk away with all 3 points in this match?
Dele Alli scoring.
Yeah, he. What's up with Dele? Has he? I mean, I've been watching Spurs a bit, but I haven't been paying too much attention to kind of the specific roles the guys have been taking on. With Son obviously it's not for this match, but with Son leaving after this match, is Dele going to be kind of shifted around, or do you think Lucas Moura is just going to come straight into the team?
I'm assuming that Lucas and LaMelo are going to be the main people to take that load.
And why do you say Dele is going to be the X factor for this match?
Oh, just because of the fact that when Dele scores, Spurs win, and Dele has been taking up a more defensive role this year, so he is going to have a lot of the stopping Pogba responsibilities.
That's music to my ears.
Take a look at Dele's defensive stats this year and then tell me it's music to your ears.
It doesn't matter. Pogba
Is carrying a knock.
is on fire. He's probably faking it. I want to be surprised.
I mean, while this game will be a little different than the 3-0 Spurs win the first time around, I still have Spurs winning this.
And by different, you mean Ander Herrera won't be playing center back?
That's one thing, maybe.
For me, and this is kind of a weird one, but I think United will win if Rashford starts up front and Lukaku comes off the bench. Because United play, granted, the fixture list is very favorable. The way the team is set up to play when they're at their best is playing with pace, with Rashford up front. They play so much better, it's so much more fluid, and then it allows Pogba to kind of do his thing on the ball. And having Lukaku come in off the bench fresh after Rashford's kind of run down opposing defenses for 65, 70 minutes, I think it's the perfect recipe for success right now. And the other thing too is you can always slide Rashford out to the wing and you don't really give up much right there. So I think the big thing is Solskjaer sticking with what's been working, and that's keep Rashford up front, don't change it, and have Lukaku come off the bench. I mean, he's scoring, he's been on fire at this point, so I'm fine with that. If they both, I don't think they'll both start. I haven't really thought about that, but in terms of a result, I'm thinking this is going to be a 2-2 draw.
And I'm thinking 3-2 Spurs because Spurs don't draw.
Well, they're due. They're due for a draw.
And how many weeks have you been saying this for?
Three. Oh, episodes. So it's probably more like 5 or 6 weeks. Is there anything else we wanted to talk about in terms of the slate this week? I mean, a lot of the matches are pretty straightforward. The other thing, I guess, of note, and just from watching some of the FA Cup highlights, I guess Mikel Antonio is pretty much now the first choice right back for West Ham. So, I mean, how does that change your value for him in draft leagues?
I mean, realistically, you should have already been owning Mikel Antonio, but the fact that he's nailed on now means you need to be owning Mikel Antonio.
Well, yeah, that's my thing is he, like, ordinarily, you would say, okay, you have a pacey winger who gets forward, who's in and out of the team, playing in a defensive role. Yeah, he might not have as high of a ceiling, but he's in the 11 now, and he's proven the last couple of matches he still gets forward and he still makes things happen. So I guess my big thing here is if you could get Antonio on the cheap in a trade, I would consider it
I agree with that.
because he's not going to stop attacking just because he's supposed to be playing fullback, because that dude's got such an insane motor. So that is just something to keep an eye out for. But I think that's going to do it for this week's episode of FPL 360. Chuck, do you want to tell the folks where they can find us?
You can find us on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, and Stitcher.